are back. It's time for another Reporter's Corner season preview. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Rubato, with the Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the better half of the co-host, Trent Singer, with Sioux Falls Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. What are we, two thirds of the way through here after this one?
Officially.
Yep. This feels good. Feels good to have it done.
Yeah, and today we're talking, we talked some dogs earlier in the week, I believe, with Harrison Watt. I can't remember if that one came out earlier this week.
Or it was last week.
Yeah, we already talked some dogs. Now it's time to talk some cats. And we brought on a pretty anticipated guest for us in terms of, you know, trying to branch out and find new people to give their input on teams. And it's Northern Michigan fan / like quasi-media representative, but maybe not. It's kind of a little confusing there, but it's Evan Gary. And Trent, what did we talk to Evan about today?
Well, he is a contributor for Tech Hockey Guide, but he's also a recruiting guru. I mean, you could kind of sense it too when we chatted with him a little bit about it. I mean, he's locked in on a lot of the recruiting that kind of goes on around the CCHA, really, but especially at Northern Michigan. Grew up in Marquette. It's his home. I mean, he is truly a cat through and through. We went through it all with him. We kind of got a little bit of his backstory and just how he got involved with, becoming, such an avid fan of the Wildcats. And, he's basically grew up at the Berry Event Center and has gone to games there pretty much his whole life. We talked a little bit about what it was like last season. I mean, we all know the Wildcats had a tough go of it last season, in the CCHA with the late coaching change. Dave Shiat comes on board, replaced Grant Bitolny. And he really had to put a roster together quick. If you guys want to go back and you're a Northern Michigan fan and you're interested in this kind of content, we do highly recommend that you go back and listen to that episode. I believe there's still so much of it that is evergreen. Dave Shiat has great stories through and through. He still owes me a Diet Pepsi, I believe. So yeah. I'm gonna get up there to Marquette one day and get one.
Promised us, hey, if we're ever in Marquette, he'll give us a Diet Pepsi. Which
is like, yeah, Diet Pepsi, man. Everybody's drinking it these days. It was a great chat, though. I really enjoyed kind of getting to hear his insight and some of the guys that he sees as breakout players. Who are some of these freshman transfer additions that Northern's getting this season that are going to be breaking through and guys that we can kind of keep an eye on. They have 16 total newcomers coming in this season, including seven. Who are transfers. They have an entirely new goalie room. And I wrote a little bit about it yesterday, and I think I mentioned it a little bit in the episode. There is nowhere for this Northern Michigan team to go but up. I mean, they were last place in the conference last year in scoring offense. I believe they may have been at the bottom of all of college hockey in scoring offense. And then obviously their scoring defense, despite Ryan Ouellette's efforts in net, they were one of the worst scoring defenses teams in the CCHA. So we talked a little bit about some strengths and weaknesses on this year's team. You know, who are some of those newcomers to watch? What series is Evan looking forward to the most? You know, and if they are to have a good season, what's it going to take? Like, and then we got his take on just the CCHA at large, and his top four teams to make the Mason Cup playoffs, his McNaughton Cup winner, and then we talked a little bit about which teams. Teams are going to make the NCAA tournament. So it was a great chat. I know they do have some turnover this year, but they're going to miss a few guys from last season too.
Yeah. And I think, before we forgot about something, but before I get into that, I think it's also interesting to point out that they obviously had a lot of new players and a lot of freshmen that came in last year. A lot of kids getting that, second chance at life, as Schick like to call it, through the portal much, much later in the offseason than kids normally commit out of the portal. But nine freshmen from last year's team are no longer on this team. They all exited through the portal. So even though there is a large group of incoming players, it is a different group of incoming players compared to last year, because it was through a whole year of the recruiting cycle and not thrown together kind of at the last minute like it was last year. So another thing to point out is they did not lose a single double-digit point getter that was eligible to return. I think we mentioned that in the episode, but we did forget to point out Tanner Latch. And it's one of the tougher stories pretty much throughout the CCHA the last two or three years, had one of the best opening weekends a freshman will ever have, or opening stretches, where I think he had 7 goals in 6 games. What was that, 2 years ago or something, Trent?
2 years ago, yep.
Yeah, and then got injured, was out for most, if not the rest of the season. Came back last year. He only played 22 games, was pretty banged up. And he had to medically retire, and it's tough because as a sophomore, he was a captain. I think a redshirt sophomore, he was a captain. And it's tough, but I wish we could have asked Evan about it, but one bad reporter, myself, forgot to put that on the on the discussion topic. So sorry about that. But sucks to see a kid like Tanner Latch have his hockey career cut short. No matter what team you cheer for, it's at the end of the day, it's a game, and health is really important. So best of luck to Tanner and the rest of his, you know, hopefully athletic career at some point, even if it's just recreationally. But I also think, like, there were some tough departures last year. We talked about Ouellette, needed a lot of recognition for what he did last year, and he kind of flew under the radar, especially in a goalie-laden league like the CCHA is, with, you know, obviously Alex Tracy. Matias Scholl was the reigning goalie of the year. He didn't even have his best year, probably one of his worst years for Bemidji State. But then there's Josh Kotai, who was outstanding for Augustana. Christian Stover took the net from Cole Moore, and Cole Moore was one of the best freshman goalie in the country a year before that. Rourke Appleby, a freshman. You know, Michigan Tech's goalie circle, where they had some injuries, but Manzella came in and had the best month of June of any goalie in the country. So, and then there's obviously the goalie tandem in St. Thomas, which has been outstanding for the past couple of years. And we'll get a chance to talk with Ryan Stieg about that in a future episode. How are they going to replace one half of that tandem? But when we look at the goalies as a whole, Ryan Ouellette was a great story. He came from D3 hockey, played his senior year at Northern Michigan. We went over his stats in the interview, so I'll save him here. But that's a tough guy to replace. Another one that's tough to replace, I thought, was Jesse Tucker. Again, no point totals for this team outside of, you know, maybe Graydon Slipik or Jakob Altrichter are really going to jump off the page. But Jesse Tucker, I believe he wore a letter on his chest, and he took a lot of faceoffs last year for Northern Michigan. So 9 points in 34 games, 4 goals, 5 assists. So that was a little bit of a tough departure for him. Another one I thought was Ryan Duguay. Again, not the biggest point total, but he did have 6 goals in 24 games, and I believe half of them came against Bemidji State in Bemidji last year, if I remember correctly. So, and Matthew Romer was another one. I believe he transferred as well. So,
Rasmus Larsson too. He was a draft pick that they had last season, and he transferred out to Robert Morris. So, they're losing a D-man there.
Yeah. So, but I think there is a lot to like about this Northern Michigan team, even if it's not to like them in the sense that they're going to compete for a McNaughton Cup, but in terms of their process of taking a tangible step forward, even if it doesn't mean making the CCHA playoffs, but not being the, you know, the sure win on the schedule for opposing teams as they were for so many games last year.
Except for Bemidji that we
think, ironically, except for Bemidji State, tough. But yeah, I think for Northern Michigan, it's about, again, sticking to that process, going through the kind of the culture reshifting, the culture building stuff that Schick is trying to establish there in Marquette, and really take a competitive step forward, even if it doesn't show up right away in the wins column. You know, let's hopefully see some more scoring out of Northern Michigan. We talked about the non-conference stuff too. It is a loaded non-conference schedule. So I don't have anything else in terms of previewing this interview. It's a great chat with Evan. He's a great kid. And, you know, we like to kind of platform some people who maybe don't really get an opportunity to do stuff like this. But if you know your stuff, we'd love to have you on. So it was a great chat with Evan. And let's kick it to that interview right now.
All right, we are joined today by one of my favorite people in the CCHA realm, the online circles that exist in the CCHA. He is known on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it, as NMU Twitter. Young Boy. Twitter X, yeah, whatever. Yeah, you're right, Twitter. Twitter. NMU Young Boy. NMUYB for short. His name is Evan Gary. Gary, right? It's not Jerry.
Yeah, Gary. Yeah, Gary.
Evan Gary, one of the, I think he's the best contributor for THG, and I'm not biased. I'm just being honest. We're talking all cats all day here. Evan, thank you for coming on the show, man. How are things going?
Hey, I'm honored to be on, fellas. I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to talk some NMU hockey, but we do want to jump into a little bit of your involvement with this team. Honestly, man, you are so ahead of some of these recruiting angles that happened throughout the off season. It's awesome stuff. I mean, you're locked in on it. I appreciate it. I know Jared does as well.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about just your involvement with the team. How long have you been a Northern Michigan fan? You're living up there in Marquette?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised up in Marquette, and I've been a Wildcat fan pretty much all my life. Like, I've been going to games probably since I was a kid.
Wow.
And I don't have any, like, involvement per se with the team, but I, like, been doing, like, the recruiting news and all that stuff for, like, 2-3 years now, I'd say.
Yeah, and we had, Lucas Pipenhagen on from BSU. We'll have a Lake State rep on who is also involved with THG in some respect. And it's like kind of like fan media in a lot of ways. I don't know how we would describe it, Trent, but it's like we both see it as a really important side of it, because Trent and I are obviously pretty plugged into the league as a whole. But when it comes to the specific teams, we can't do everything like we do for.
We're also busy as hell, and that's a big part of it too.
Yeah,
but at the same time, though, to stay locked in on stuff like that. Walk us through. I mean, how do you kind of stay ahead of the recruiting cycle? What's sort of the method to your madness?
You know, I just usually like go through like Twitter or like Instagram sometimes, like just go through like the tag and all that kind of thing, see if there's any like new commitment posts from any like players or like their like agencies or whatever, and then I just go off that.
Yeah, well, it's obviously really useful, and we thought you were a really, really good person to chat about the Cats this year. And it's a really, really interesting year, coming off of probably an even more interesting year for, you know, worse reasons. But obviously Northern Michigan finished 9th place in the league last year. They missed the playoffs. It was a tough year. It was a tough year up in Marquette. But there were a lot of good things that came out of the year as well. Evan, just talk to us from your perspective, starting at the end of last offseason through the end of the season, or sorry, the beginning of last offseason through the end of last season. What was the experience like for a Northern Michigan fan?
Well, like at the start of the like last offseason, it was like, all right, cool, we're getting like Hanson Sukinski, Adam Pietola, those type of guys. And then like all the players start leaving, and it's like, oh, well, okay, we got good players coming in, so it's fine. Transfer portal, all that. And then I just got like a Twitter notification from I think Mike McMahon, or you know, and it just says Northern Michigan's coach Grant Pitoni has resigned. I was like, what? He's just talking about we have the number one recruiting class in the nation like last week.
Yeah, and then, it's tough. You know, when because the transfer portal stuff happened in kind of like waves too, right? Like there was the wave that went in when Pitoni was still there. I think it was what, around 11 players, if I'm not mistaken, went in.
About that, yeah.
And then I think 7 or 8 more went in after he left. And when you're looking at the infamous line chart picture of all the players scratched off from that team and all the healthy scratches, just literally scratched off then, what's going through your head when you're like, we have single digit returners coming back and not enough freshmen to fill out a roster?
You know, not a great feeling, but I trusted in the head coaching like search and the, you know, who they've recruited and all that. Like I knew it was gonna be like not the greatest of years since he had such low time to pick a new team out. But, you know, he has this year had his first full year of like a full recruiting cycle, and, you know, we'll see what we get out of it this year.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, I think the best way to phrase what last year was like for Northern Michigan was, I think they really did make the best out of a really tough situation, right? Like, yeah, you found some great players out of there, you know, like Jakob Altrichter, Graydon Slipik, Tynan Ewert from the portal, even some of the guys that are no longer there through graduation, like Ryan Ouellette, needed way more credit than he got last year for his goaltending. I mean, a .971 save percentage, a 2.59 goals against average, and he won 5 games. I mean, those are incredible numbers, playing 32 games and winning 5 of them. It's tough, but it's the hand they were dealt. But now they get to kind of, like you said, reset. It's the first full recruiting class for Dave Chiak, who we had Schick on the show, Trent, and he was one of our better interviews right away. I think he was the second or third guest we've ever had on the show. And it was kind of cool to see him talk through that process of joining Northern Michigan later in the offseason, trying to fill out a roster in a matter of weeks before they all reported to opening camp. So, you know, do you have positive takeaways from last year, despite the record being what it was?
No, I definitely do. Like, Ouellette was definitely a dog in that. Like, he stood on his head every night. And, like, Altrichter and Slipik were definitely really good on, like, our not the greatest forward lines last year. But definitely could see a few good ups in last season for sure.
Yeah, and I'm curious to know, too, you start looking at this roster this year, and I'll give you a little bit of a breakdown. 16 newcomers that are being joining this team this year, 7 who are transfers, and then the rest, I believe that's 9 who are freshmen. When you're looking at this roster, though, I mean, whether it's newcomers, whether it's guys who have been here, like you mentioned, Slipik and Altrichter, you know, where do you see who's going to be the points leader on this team next season, or at least who's your pick to be the guy to kind of lead the way, and how do you see that sort of playing out?
Well, personally, I think for who I think getting that most points, I feel like Caden Gall's definitely the easy like leader here, but I can definitely see like Slipik and Altrichter having breakout seasons, and I can see like Matthew Ward coming in doing some damage.
Yeah, the Matthew Ward pickup, and I'm sure we'll get into him a little bit more, you know, when we talk about, you know, kind of the incoming freshman. But Matthew Ward looks so solid on paper. I mean, everything checks out about him. I also want to throw out another name in there too, just in my, you know, preseason research and stuff. Not only were Jakob Altrichter, Graydon Slipik, you know, like you said, dogs. They brought back every single double-digit point getter last year that was eligible to return. And I think one that maybe kind of slipped under the radar a little bit was Aiden Hutchinson. 4 goals, 6 assists, point every 3 games. Again, not like the breakout year that he had, but he popped off the screen a few times last year and, you know, obviously earned himself another spot on this year's team too.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely liked Hutchinson's game last year. It was definitely good. I feel like he's going to have a pretty good season this year. I'm feeling like 15, 20 points. But I feel like he's definitely going to be a good building stone for the start of the season this year.
One thing that stands out to me, too, about this team is, you know, he assembled a team almost makeshift because of the timing of the hire. And so you've got a total of, I think it's like 7 sophomores on this team that were freshmen last year. Hutchinson being one of them. Obviously, we've talked about Altrichter. We've talked about Graydon Slipik. You know, when you look at this team and kind of what they're, you know, obviously what they've assembled and what they're bringing back from last season, is there a strength and weakness that stands out to you? Maybe that's something that you're eyeing going into this season of something that you're honestly just most kind of in tune with.
You know, honestly, I think that our biggest need and improvements this year is definitely like scoring and all that. But I don't really know.
Yeah, scoring was tough last year.
Yeah.
It was pretty tough.
Well, and I wrote about this yesterday, too. There's really nowhere for Northern Michigan to go but up. I mean, they finished 8th scoring defense. They finished 9th in scoring offense. I believe they may have been worst in the country in scoring offense if you go back and look at it. So really, you kind of got to consider all that when you're talking about a team that's doing a rebuild, because that's exactly what this team is doing right now. When you're looking at guys though who maybe played last season, didn't have quite as big of a season as you expected, is there a guy on this team that you can identify as sort of like a breakout player, somebody who could maybe take the next step and had a solid season?
I think Anthony Klisch is definitely going to have some sort of breakout season this year. Didn't really have too many points last year, but I think he's going to have a much better season this year.
Yeah, 9 points in 34 games, 4 goals, 5 assists. And this roster in the returning players, it's kind of filled with guys like that who maybe had some spurts or showed some, you know, stretches of a little bit more consistency at the collegiate level, but it was tough to find that consistency game to game with the season they had. When I also look at this roster, and to kind of go back to the strengths and weaknesses part, I think a big strength is their transfer class. You mentioned Caden Galt, 25 points in 36 games for Ferris State last year, but Kyle Bettens had a really good, you know, run as a sophomore for Minnesota Duluth. Not a great junior year, but coming from the NCHC to the CCHA, that feels like a good spot for him to step in. Warren Clark, a defenseman, played 20 games last year for St. Cloud State. He's had some solid runs for the Huskies. Again, kind of struggling to put that consistency part together, but change of scenery, new coach. For him, an old coach and Schick, who he had at St. Cloud State, maybe something like that can just, get the wheels moving a little bit. And I like their goalie ad in William Graham. You have to replace Olette somehow, and it's tough to throw a true freshman in the net there, but they get a kid from the Big Ten out of Wisconsin and William Graham. Numbers, again, weren't the best last year with a 3.23 goals against and an 0.878 save percentage. But again, change of scenery, a little bit more consistent playing time. Maybe he's able to get into a rhythm there. Out of the transfers, you know, is there any of them that really stick out as this was kind of a home run hit for Northern Michigan?
I think, honestly, William Grama is going to be pretty good this year. He was put up some good numbers in the Big Ten and, you know, how good the Big Ten is. And I can definitely see him having some good boost coming to Northern.
Yeah, the only goalie with college experience too, because you're looking, it's a completely new goalie room too. Two freshmen. I'm gonna not say this name right, and I think I said it wrong earlier today too. We're on the CCHA show. Oliver A. Young Ashton, and then Jack Fuller. Two guys who played BCHL, NAHL. It is an interesting goalie room. I'm curious to know too about among the freshmen. Is there somebody that stands out that you're kind of most interested in this season?
I'm kind of interested to see what Tobias Pitka is going to do this year. I know we got him from the flip from, what was it, BC, I think, to Northern.
Yep.
And he's definitely got some good size, so I'm definitely excited to see what he does.
Yeah, 50 points in 58 games in the BC for Victoria last year, 23 goals, 27 assists. Looks like a consistent scorer and a consistent contributor there. And then we already touched on Matthew Ward. He's the only CHL kid that Northern Michigan picked up, I believe. Is that right, Evan?
Yes, we had two committed, but one of them, I think, decided to go the U Sports route instead.
Okay. But Matthew Ward, big year playing with Medicine Hat, shared a locker room with Gavin McKenna. 56 points in 82 games, and 24 of them were goals. Talk about the CHL side of it for you in Northern Michigan. It's Each CCHA team's kind of going about it their own way. You have Michigan Tech, Bowling Green, and Bemidji State with a combined 29 kids who came from the CHL in some respect. And you have Ferris State, Minnesota State, and Augustana who have zero CHL kids. And Northern Michigan's kind of in that middle group with St. Thomas and Lake State where they have a couple, but it's still kind of the traditional recruiting approach. Talk to us about kind of your expectations with the CHL and how it played out from the Northern Michigan fan perspective.
Well, I definitely hope we start recruiting more from the CHL. I was definitely excited to hear about that. But also the alternatives that, like, all the other teams in the CCHA are going to improve with the CHL and all that. Like, Tech, when their new coach came in and picked up a bunch of CHLers. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's – and Tech, I believe, is the only CCHA team that has non-aged-out CHL kids on its roster, too. If you guys can't tell, I'm just doing a CHL roster breakdown right before this. there's a lot of this is like fresh on the brain.
But, yeah.
You know, when it comes to, you know, just the when we start looking at the series outlook for Northern Michigan, non-conference series, conference series, which ones do you circle on the calendar? Give us one for each. I think the conference series is pretty easy to to lock down for a Northern Michigan fan and probably a Michigan Tech fan as well.
Yeah, for non-conference, I'm definitely really excited to see Michigan State come to town with all their like draft picks on the team this year. And then obviously for conference, those guys up in Houghton, you know. Always excited for that series. Always excited to go trash talk Dylan Diaz. You know, it's always a good time.
It's not hard to listening. Trash talk Dylan Diaz either.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out Dylan. Yeah,
it actually kind of is hard. I met him in person, and he's a nice guy.
Honestly, he's such a nice guy in person.
I know. But hey, that's what these online spaces are for. I'm curious to know. You know, you said you've grown up in this. You know, kind of bleeding the green and gold. What has this rivalry sort of looked like for you as, you know, kind of come into this point in your life and now you kind of get to chirp with these Michigan Tech fans in person?
Well, obviously there's been a lot of like wins, losses in there. Obviously like the Ate goal in there, but like always a good time that week. Always good time seeing all the like fans come into the arena, all the cheering, all the loudness. Definitely one of the better weekends.
Yeah, for sure. We'll give you one more Northern question before we swing it into our kind of league-wide questions, but we want you to finish this sentence for us. Northern Michigan will have a successful season if blank happens.
Ooh. Northern will have a good season if the rest of the CCHA does not do good.
That's fair. It's also a kind of a loaded question, right? There's so many, like, what is a successful season for Northern this year? That's the bigger question. I think a successful season for Northern, I talked a little bit about this morning when we were on the CCHA show. For me, a successful Northern Michigan season is them making the tournament, and it could happen. I mean, I just don't, the way I look at it is there's so much
volatility. The Mason Cup tournament.
I'm sorry, make the tournament. Yeah, make
right,
the Mason
make the
Cup.
Mason yes. Cup tournament, okay, Mason not the Cup. NCAA tournament.
Yeah, yeah, I should probably clarify that.
It would be an outstanding season.
It would be like a movie in the making if they made the NCAA tournament this
and
season.
I'm not to dog on them or anything, but it's like their rebuild is just going to have to take time.
It's going to take time.
Rome isn't built in a day or whatever cliche you want to throw at it.
Yeah.
So,
and I do love the moves that Dave Schick has made. I think this team is on the right trajectory. That's the 100% the truth. Have you been to a game at the MAC too? I'm also curious about that.
I've been to two games at the MAC. Yes.
Have you? So like, how did it go for you? I mean, when was this?
My first game at the MAC was in 2023, I think.
Okay.
In February. And then my second game was the next season after in November. And I'm pretty sure before I walked into the arena, I got booed. So that was
of course.
Did Northern win either of those games?
No, they did not. I think they were close in one game, and then the other game they lost like 4-1 or something like that.
Okay.
I want to run their non-conference here quick though. They do open at UMass, then they go to Ohio State. I mean, this is a great non-conference schedule. And then they will be at home for two series, two other, like Evan mentioned, two great series, Colorado College and then against Michigan State. So, Jared, we've talked a little bit about this too, and maybe you can expound on it a little bit, but this is a, you know,
that's the hardest non-conference schedule in the CCHA.
It might be.
By far.
It might be, but it's also a situation where, like, if you're competitive in some of these games, like this is the kind of team that will lift this conference up. If you want two CCHA teams making the tournament, it's got to be teams like Northern Michigan. It's got to be teams like Ferris State. It's got to be teams like Lake State. Some of these teams that haven't performed well in non-conference over the last few years, like, they've got to do well in these non-conference games.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a gauntlet. But I think if you can steal two or three wins, or a win, maybe a couple wins and a draw, something like that, it's not only for, you know, the sake of the CCHA pairwise, just in terms of momentum, feeling good about yourself going into conference play. I mean, Bemidji State 2 years ago, when they won the McNaughton Cup, went like 1-6-1 in non-conference play. And they do the similar thing where they play a lot of tough teams. That year was Army, Wisconsin, North Dakota, Minnesota Duluth, and St. Cloud State. Well, four of those teams were in the tournament. So it was tough, but at the end of the day, you know, they still went on an insane run to win the McNaughton Cup. So a season is never lost in non-conference play, but you can certainly be in the right direction with, you know, some positive momentum coming out of it, whether it's you win a game you weren't supposed to, or you play at the level of one of those other big schools that are on the schedule. But I want to throw it back to, I thought of another thing too, of us, you know, Northern Michigan will have a successful season if they're able to replace the production of Ouellette, if they can find a consistent goalie who can give them the games. And I don't think they're going to have to rely on a goalie as much as they did last year, like they had to do with Ouellette, where he was getting outshot 2-1 every game. But if you can get similar play where you have a guy who makes all of the saves he should make and a couple he shouldn't, doesn't, you know, break your back too much, that's a really, really good safety net for a defensive group that does look much better on paper this year than last year. And Schick talked about it at Media Day yesterday, where Tynan Ewart was playing 32 minutes a night, and it was probably way too much for a guy like Tynan Ewart to play. And he's a heck of a player, but 32 minutes for any – you can't play over half a game and expect to get the best out of that player. So I think if they just get some consistent goaltending this year with this unknown goalie room – and Schick called it an unproven goalie room for a reason, but that seems like a really, really good avenue for Northern Michigan to take a big step forward. But I think we should go into the league as a whole. Evan, give us your top four teams this year, and it doesn't have to be in any order, but you do have to pick a McNaughton Cup winner.
All right. I'm going to say the top four this year is going to be Bowling Green, Tech, St. Thomas, and it's probably going to be a split between, like, Bemidji and Minnesota State, I'm guessing. But if I had to choose a McNaughton champ, then I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt to Tech, so I'm going to say Bowling Green.
So, okay, I'm curious to know, what about Bowling Green, though? So you're a believer in the CHL stuff. I mean, you really think that they're going to have a really big impact. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say that. Honestly, Bowling Green definitely did a really good job with their CHL recruiting this year. They literally did it, like, as the doors open for it. Like, they're definitely prepared. But Jared, I can definitely see something going down.
Where do you see Augustana in this mix then? Because we talked about it with every guest we've had on, that the 1-6, the 1-7 is somewhat interchangeable, and you have to put teams at 5-6. And for me, Augustana and Michigan Tech fell in that 5-6 there. I think I actually had Augustana 6, which
I think you did.
Bad alumni on my part.
I'm going to tell Garrett.
Okay.
He ain't shouting you out at the next media day, man. Well, yeah, where do you have Augie? I mean, where do you see them falling in this?
I honestly have them, I think, at 5.
Okay.
But I can also see them going up to like 4 or 3, or like 6.
It's 100% the way this league is this year, and we're going to say this over and over until the season starts. The volatility between so many teams is just kind of the way it is. I think Lake State's even a similar example. I think I said today on the CCHA show, I don't see Lake State finishing ninth. I think it's impossible for them to finish ninth in this league this year. I may be wrong. And at the end of the season, I said injuries would be the biggest thing. But you look at what they bring back. They're an interesting team. Ferris State, obviously, with a new coach, building it entirely through the transfer portal, too. They're a very interesting play in this thing as well. I'm curious to know, too. So you've said that your McNaughton Cup winner is Bowling Green. Which CCHA team or teams do you see playing in the NCAA tournament?
I definitely think that the CCHA is going to get more than one bid this year. So okay. I honestly think probably Bowling Green Tech. Tech always seems to get a bid somehow. But there's definitely a few teams in there that can make their run for the tournament for sure.
And there's the Discord going crazy too. Yeah, we can almost hear it from the echoing from the halls of Houghton, Michigan. You know, room lighten ball,
up.
Locker.
This is lighting them up right now.
Yeah, whatever they do up there for their winter carnival or some BS. But
hey, yeah, let's do that. Let's spend the next 5 minutes. What do we not like the most about Michigan Tech? Like, let's.
Okay.
We're gonna let Matt Cavender. And we're gonna let Tim Braun do the same thing on Friday to you. But let's do it, Evan. Roast the Huskies right now. Give us your best roast.
I gotta think of one. They've been doing pretty good against us in the past few years.
We could also just wait to ask you in a couple of years when we got a
full
recruiting class. Too.
Yeah.
The only thing I have is, we have a goalie, you guys don't. And that might be wrong anyways, but at least you scored it on them. Shout out Ate.
Yeah.
Evan, last one for you. But when you look at the league as a whole, maybe one of the bottom five teams, who's your big sleeper team this year? A team that is not getting enough respect in the preseason polls that probably should deserve a little bit more.
And you can say the Wildcats if you need to.
Northern Michigan University. I ain't believing in this ninth place hate. I'm telling you, they're sleeping on them.
I love it.
Hey, look, I think Trent and I can both see the vision a little bit. I still picked 100%. Them ninth, but I think they have a seventh place ceiling, and you know, Schick's a heck of a coach. I think when you start bringing in some of those recruits and you start to see that culture established year to year, it can do a lot, and it can overcome maybe some of the talent discrepancy that Northern Michigan doesn't have yet or has, you know, in comparison to maybe some of the teams at the top, like a Minnesota State or a, you know, close your ears, Michigan Tech. So, yeah, but I don't know. It's an eclectic group up in Marquette, and I think a lot of people expect them to be at the bottom, but I don't think people should be that surprised if Northern Michigan's walking into their barn for a first round series in the Mason Cup.
Hey, one can hope, you know.
Yeah, so.
Well, I we do appreciate you coming on, Evan, man. You know, it's you live in a place where I one day hope to go. I would love to go up to Marquette. I'd love to meet you in person sometime if I do it, but it's a beautiful area in the summer. If you're listening to this and you're not familiar with Northern Michigan, I highly recommend you consider taking a trip to the UP because I've literally, like, my wife and I haven't taken our honeymoon and we talked about possibly going up there, maybe making a trip up to Houghton and then heading over to Marquette. I've got a good friend. Shout out to Joel Kaskinen, who is an Augie super fan. He's lived in Sioux Falls here for a while. He's a Northern Michigan grad, now works at Northern Michigan. He just moved back there this summer. So I've got people up there, Joe Paris from, you know, up there. He does a show based out of Marquette. It's a beautiful area, man. And you should be pretty grateful and thankful that you get to live in it every day. I know the winters are tough, but the summers are awesome.
Yeah, definitely. The UP and Marquette is definitely really nice. Tourist can't talk about that, but the fall colors up here is honestly some of the best in the United States, I gotta say.
That would be another one too, coming up there in the fall.
Yeah, I'll also we'll do a quick chance to plug. You're going to do some writing for Tech Hockey Guide this year and covering the Wildcats. Talk about what you got planned, you know, how much you get to, you know, grace your presence on their blogosphere, and how you kind of got involved with that a little bit.
Well, probably this year I'm going to be just starting out with like recaps and previews of series, but I'm hoping to do some more stuff with them. But honestly, I think it was literally just talking in the Discord, and Matt was like, hey, you might need a Wildcat reporter. Like, I'm down. Why not?
Yeah.
And then it just all clicked and all happened. Definitely happy to have that.
Yeah, well, I think Trent and I are both looking forward to reading it, so I don't know. Maybe yeah. Maybe Trent isn't. I'm looking forward to reading it.
100% I am. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
So yeah.
We appreciate it, Evan. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, definitely. It's been an honor.
All right. Once again, thank you to Evan Gary for joining the show, and thank you to our producer, Perilous Garris. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer and at Jared Robedo BP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and SiouxFallsLive.com. Thanks.